Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to remind you that life is alive.
Visions.
And it knows exactly what you need to help you overcome all the pain and strife that's inside. Sometimes you have to witness darkness to brighten your eyes. And go beyond duality to see the hidden oneness in this life you divide. Through every high and low, you have to approach life with an equal mind. Have the greatest faith and know that the grace of God will never leave your side. Although we are but little waves on the sea of time, we all possess that light of Christ that helps us realign and be divine. To truly find peace of mind, you have to be willing to go deep inside and fall in love with yourself and let that love be your guide. Only then will you find peace of mind and be sublime. Be sublime. Gotta take it one day at a time. Ay, they dedicated and stay on your grind. Ay, I know they hate, don't pay them no mind. Ay, these sacrifices, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. Yeah, gotta take it one day at a time. They gon' pay out. Life is filled with so many trials and so many tribulations and so many tests. So many things that you have to overcome within to shine without, you know? And I've been broke so many times, and I lost hope so many times. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Man, I've cried plenty of times, plenty nights, when I didn't see no finish line. In my sights, still I grind, 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 24/7. Grind, 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 7 through 7. One day it gon' pay out. Can't take a day out. Working them night shifts. And then I got laid out. I had to get it. I had to get on my grind and get out my feelings. Who am I kidding? Asking myself like, why is you chillin'? Why is you chillin'? I'm sacrificing my sleep. I'm manifesting these dreams. Andrea, understand the nature of this reality. Or this pseudo-reality. You are a cosmic thought. You are a vibration of thought. Your soul existence rests on a thought. And thus, if you wish to change anything in your reality, you must change your thoughts and have your actions aligned with those thoughts. You are not the universe, but you are the cosmos. Gotta take it one day at a time. Ay, they dedicated to stay on your grind. Ay, I know they hate. Don't pay them no mind, yeah. These sacrifices, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. Yeah. Gotta take it one day at a time. They gon' pay out.
Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. They dedicated and stay on your grind, homie. I know they hate. Don't pay them no mind.
Breathe and be still. Breathe and be here. Breathe and be now. Allow your spirit to be receptive. Be receptive. Everything that you want is available to you now. Everything that you need, you already have. There are no voids in the universe. There are no voids within you. creation is abundant, infinite, ever-expanding, boundless. Though you live in creation, creation also lives in you. You are abundant, infinite, ever-expanding, boundless. Remove all thoughts of lack and limitation from your consciousness. There is no such thing as lack. There are no limitations. The only limit is your mind. Let your mind expand. Let your consciousness expand. Inhale deeply. Let your mind expand. Exhale completely. Let your consciousness expand. Success is all around you. Success is within you. Wealth is all around you. Wealth is within you. Growth is all around you. Growth is within you. You are an abundant and attractive force. You are an abundant and attractive force. Everything that you want is available to you now. Everything that you need, you already have. I know that life may seem a bit strange at times, but through all of the pain and confusion, you have to remain divine. Do all that you can do to heal and change inside. Know and understand that even flowers have to endure the rain at times. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I want you to know that things get better with time, but in the meantime, you have to stop seeing yourself through irrelevant eyes. May you shine like the light that has brought you forth from the heavenly skies, and find more of yourself in the rest of these lines. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change. Yeah. I know flowers grow, I know flowers grow, I know people change. Yeah. Sometimes we need the rain, sunflower souls. There is a time to love and there's a time to heal. Find a way to free your mind and let time reveal. In the midst of all of this love that you're trying to give, you have to learn to love yourself for real and find the time to live. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I know people change. I know flowers. Yeah. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know flowers grow. We cannot stay the same. So if you love the flower, you cannot hate the rain. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. Yeah. I know flowers grow. I know flowers grow. I know people change. Yeah. Sometimes we need the rain. Sunflower souls. Thank you.
who don't even eat with their fathers anymore, their mothers. The family bond has been broken. It's an outcry for attention why kids are going to school with guns. They want love. They want to be touched. They want to be held. But they're busy off on their day job and, you know, and they leave them at home on the computer and they're just doing all kind of crazy stuff. And that's destroying our world. We need to bond again. That's very important, Warren.
Why does it mean so much to you?
I'm just very sensitive to their pain, and I'm very sensitive to the family, the human condition, you know, on that subject. It means a lot to me, and I want to help do whatever I can to help that, you know. That's what the world needs now, more love.
Never fit in that. Never get in that at all. This is more like it. Now, what's the whitest thing you know? Whiter than the driven snow, whiter than the whites of your eyes? Sugar. Non-integrated, non-black, sweet sugar. But you see, there is a black man in your sugar. His name is Norbert Rillier. Norbert Rillier in 1846 invented a vacuum pan that revolutionized the sugar refining industry. Now, you have to dig to find that fact. I mean, it's not much history, but it's still history. Now, what do you stand in? In your shoes. Now, there's just you and your shoes, isn't there? Nope. See, there's a black man standing in your Oxfords with you. Sharing your soul and your heel is a man, his name is Jan Ernst Metzeliger. And in 1863, this is a drawing by the kids, Metzeliger invented the machine that made mass-produced shoes possible. Now, you have to dig around for that fact, too. And again, it's not much history, but it's history. Am I coming in clear to California? I mean, is this TV signal driving through a pass in the Sierra Nevada mountains and slipping into San Francisco? Okay, well, I want to thank you. Jim Beckworth? Jim Beckworth, out of St. Louis. Hunter, trapper, and honorary chief of the Crow Tribe of Indians. We had trouble finding you, Jim. Though you helped open the West, you didn't make the books. Chicago, right here, where the Wrigley building is. Young fellow by the name of Jean-Baptiste de Sade. Jean-Baptiste, he founded you, Chicago, when he traded with the Indians. And, of course, there it is right there at that particular time. It was called Eschicago, or Stinking Onion, by the Indians. And de Sade, he didn't even change the name at all. Now, you take the Lewis and Clark expedition here, right in there. You'll find a black man named York, helping to open the West. Those men are trying to wash the black out of York. that's what you might call historically significant, because a lot of people think we ought to wash white, but we ain't gonna, you see. Texas, coming to you, Texas, right down the Chisholm Trail, right here. Right down there with 5,000 black cowboys who never made it to the Hollywood West. Did you know that, huh? In the same group, there was one black outlaw. His name was Deadwood Dick, who claimed his soul brothers were Bat Masterson, Billy the Kid, and Jesse James. Deadwood Dick used to ride into the saloon, order two drinks, one for himself and one for his horse. And here's his horse drinking a shot of red eye with a straw. And how about the 186,000 blacks who fought on the Union side during the Civil War? 38,000 died. How about Teddy Roosevelt's charge up San Juan Hill? It wasn't just the Rough Riders who made it. Four black regiments went right up with Teddy. They didn't get lost going up the hill. They got lost in the history books. How about the North Pole? Snow White? Well, the first man there was black, Matthew Henson. He spoke Eskimo. And he was Admiral Perry's navigator. And although he made it first to the pole, it never quite made it to the history books. And how about your heart? Can we get there? All right. Daniel Hale Williams first performed open heart surgery successfully. Now, this list could go on forever. Blacks who made it, blacks who made history, but who didn't get into the history text at all. And the strange thing is how little there is about us in the textbooks. Napoleon once said, history is a fable agreed upon, and the fable agreed upon up to now is that American history is white on white. But sometimes we did get into the history books. All wrong. Now you take this one. The Growth of the American Republic, 1942 edition. Samuel Eliot Morrison, Henry Steele Cummager. Quote, as for. This has to do with slavery. As for Sambo, Professor Morrison, Sambo, Professor Cummager, as for Sambo, whose wrongs moved the abolitionists to wrath and tears, there is some reason to believe that he suffered less than any other class in the South from its peculiar institution. Peculiar institution means slavery. Although brought to America by force, the incurably optimistic Negro soon became attached to the country and devoted to his white folks. Unquote. Those lines were written by two Pulitzer Prize-winning white Northern professors. Slavery. That's the place everybody likes to start Negro history. You have ignorant black men being brought over from Africa in chains. Terrible thing, slavery. But this way slavery is taught, it sort of takes the sting out of it. Because the way it's usually taught, people think that we Afro-Americans started with nothing but little grass skirts like the kids in the Tarzan movies. And though America gave us slavery, America kindly gave us religion and a lick or two of education. And when we get more jobs and more education, then up from slavery. But we had something before we left Africa, something more than rhythm. I mean, we had a high culture. Culture was so high that great artists in the world are still borrowing from it. Now, here's a sculpture by an unknown African artist. And here's what Paul Klee took from him. Now here's a work by an unknown black African, and Pablo Picasso liked what he saw. Another African design, and Modigliani swiped it, or he was influenced by it, or whatever polite word you want to use. Another black African artist, and Picasso didn't change it very much. I mean, when you look at this copying, you got to give us a little more than rhythm. You got to give us style. Now, if you tell the history of slavery right, you got a big problem on your hands. The slave trader didn't take some savage out of Africa. He took a human being, sold him like an animal, and separated him from his family. America invented the cruelest slavery in the history of the world. It broke up black families. After slavery was over, America kept breaking up the black man's family. And that's some awful history to teach. Now, if you want to look history right straight in the eye, you're going to get a black eye. Because it isn't important whether a few black heroes got lost or stolen or strayed in America's history textbooks. What's important is why they got left out. Now, this country has got a psychological history. There was a master race, there was a slave race. And though there isn't any political slavery anymore, those same old attitudes have hung around. I mean, the burning part of Burn, Baby Burn is right here in this classroom. We want to thank Mrs. Lovely Billups and the whole gang here at fourth grade for the brilliant and intelligent artwork that they've done here to make this whole broadcast sing. I want you guys to keep pretending that I'm not here. You're doing a great job, and just keep on drawing and reading and writing, doing what you have to do, because I'm going to talk about some other kids. Not you, Mary, John, and Bob. These are kids from other schools. Did you know in some states it used to be against the law to teach blacks to read or write? Nowadays we're getting these integrated schoolrooms, and most people think that if we get enough teaching and enough jobs, everything is going to take care of itself. But there is a scar of history running right through kids as young as these. It tears you up if you know how to look at drawings kids make, because kids shouldn't know much about history and anything about discrimination. I mean, nobody hates little black kids, but why do some of them cause so much trouble? And if you ask black and white children to draw themselves, or trees, or houses, some strange things happen. We ask some ordinary white kids from ordinary families to make some drawings for us. Like, well, let's call him John. John's white, and we asked him to draw himself. This is John. This is his house, and this is his tree. Then we asked a black kid, let's call him Ralph, to do the same thing. This is Ralph's drawing of himself. This is his tree. Now, why should two kids of the same age draw so differently? Enter the expert. This is Dr. Emanuel Hammer, psychiatrist specializing in children's therapy.
Well, let me illustrate it for you. Let's take these drawings.
No matter what a child draws, he's really picturing himself. Ask a secure child to draw a tree, and he's likely to draw a bountiful spreading tree. A black child drew this tree. Cut off in its growth. Stark, bare, ungratified. It works the same way with drawings of people. Normal children, average drawings. The mood is happy. The child feels capable. The drawings are complete, and the arms are developed to emphasize strength. These children were old enough to draw complete figures. The significant fact is what they left out. Arms, hands. A child may sense that a situation in life is so powerless that he himself is equivalent to an armless man. My own study reveals that armless people appear 3 times more frequently in the drawings by black children than those by white. The faceless being suggests that these youngsters not only feel themselves to be less than they might be, they don't even feel themselves to be. The black child who is forced to live in a hostile world may disappear in self-defense. He drifts through life feeling like a shadow. He stops caring, and he stops trying. A child who has this on his mind cannot be a child. A child who has this on his mind could want to burn down cities when he gets older.
The whole confusion was summed up by a black 9-year-old in these two paintings. This is a 9-year-old boy draws a white man, Robin Hood, maybe. And this is how the same boy draws himself. And this is the consequence of deformed history.
Linda, close the curtains. Brian, lower the screen. Bonnie, light, please.
In the past 50 years, 33,000 feature films have been made in the United States, and about 6,000 of them have had parts for black actors. For the most part, the black portraits have been drawn by white writers, white producers, and white directors for a white audience. Most black parts were the way white Americans wanted them to be. The black male was consistently shown as nobody, nothing. He had no qualities that could be admired by any man, or more particularly, any woman.
When the sun goes down, the tide goes out, the darkies gather around and they all begin to shout. Hey, hey, Uncle Doug, it's...
White people didn't like to think much about them, sort of like a relative you got in a rest home. I mean, happy darkies, dancing and singing was all they wanted to hear about. Being good Christians, the whites out front liked to think the blacks out back were kind of happy. Uncle Tom's Cabin was one of the first movies made that tried to say anything about black people. Uncle Tom was changed a little each time it was put on the stage, and all the parts were played by white actors, and by the time they made a movie of it in 1903, Uncle Tom was just the white man's idea of a good nigger. You might say he was what H. Rap Brown ate. They made this picture 5 times. By the time they finished with it, Mickey Rooney could have played Uncle Tom. Minstrel shows started as the black man's entertainment for himself and the plantation owners. When they were filmed, though, they were done by a white cast. You figure that out. They were done as sort of a joke, and the black entertainer couldn't even get a job making fun of himself. The first really vicious anti-Negro film was called The Birth of a Nation, and it was a honey. And the second worst thing about it was that technically in 1918 it was the best movie that had ever been made. A cat named D.W. Griffith produced it, and he knew how. See? Birth of a Nation pretended to tell the story of the Civil War and what happened afterwards when the slaves were freed. White woman couldn't walk on her own sidewalk, if you believe the picture. In the South, Negroes got the right to vote, and the movie showed black vote collectors refusing to accept white votes, and black people sneaking in extra votes. And if these black bad guys don't look very bad to you, it's probably because they were white actors wearing burnt cork. Negro legislators took over in the South, and in the film they were made to look like apes. And this was the movie version of how it looked in the Southern state legislature. They drank whiskey, they ate chicken with their hands in the state house, and they put their feet up on the table with the shoes off. And of course, they passed all sorts of crazy laws according to the film, like anybody could marry anybody they wanted to. It was obvious to anyone who saw this picture that Negroes weren't fit to govern themselves or anyone else because they really weren't people. This film is 50 years old, and it may look silly and out of date now, but it didn't look silly when it was made and seen. Several million Americans who saw it were propagandized to believe that this is the way things would be if they weren't careful. So they've been pretty careful. Colonel Cameron, a former officer in the Confederate Army, is all upset over the way Northerners and the freed slaves are changing his South, taking a mint julep right out of his mouth. So he takes a walk one day while he's worrying about it, and he sees 2 white kids playing, and then 4 black kids come along. Being hardly human and naturally afraid of ghosts, the black kids run. Colonel Cameron sees the whole scene, gets his great idea, and with this, that great white all-American organization, the KKK, was born. The cavalry and the bedsheet has come to the rescue. The South is saved. In this picture, the Ku Klux Klan was the good boy who saved the South. Most Hollywood films, though, even the early ones, weren't really nasty. Nobody was sitting around saying, hey, let's take care of the niggers. What producers were doing was making money. And to make money, they made pictures that white ticket buyers would enjoy. They showed Negroes the way most Americans like to think of them. To blame Hollywood is like throwing a rock at the mirror because you don't like what you see in it. Burt Williams was one of the great vaudeville performers. He couldn't get parts in white pictures, so he made a lot of short comedies. He played the part most Americans consider typical Negro. He wasn't bad, really, just lazy, stupid, and happy the way he was. And his feet hurt. He was afraid of most everything. And when he was scared, he shook and his teeth chattered. Unlike a scared white man, the black man's eyes could pop out of his head. When he was scared, he was so scared he couldn't talk. He was also so scared he couldn't run. Black women, on the other hand, were steady and imperturbable. They stood like a rock on the face of things that scared black men. Another strange physical characteristic was when they were really very scared, the guys turned white. When you look back on these old films, the patterns come jumping out at you. The most consistent thing about them was the attack on the black man. He was never even given the privilege of being a man. He was a boy, as in, you know, here, boy. They had a lot of other great qualities besides being cowardly. For instance, they stole chickens.
Who's in there? Who's in there?
Ain't nobody in here but us chickens.
They shot craps.
That's your papa talking to you now, Dice. Come on. Just hit them one more time.
And lions weren't the only thing they were afraid of, either. They were afraid of gorillas.
Wallace Rose, is that you next to me? Wonderful. Is that you next? Now, come on, Wallenford. Now, don't stand around. Come on, tell me the truth. Is that you next to me? Wallenford, please say yes, that's you.
They were also afraid of ghosts and skeletons.
Jeff? Is that you scratching my head? Jeff? Jeff! Now, come on. Now, what are you looking at?
What's your hurry, boys?
Even when they were little boys, they had these characteristics. Farina in our gang was the boy, boy. The tradition of the lazy, stupid, crap-shooting, chicken-stealing idiot was popularized by an actor named Lincoln Theodore Monroe Andrew Perry. The cat made $2 million in 5 years in the middle 30s, and everyone who ever saw a movie laughed at Step and Fetch It.
Come out, wherever you is, wherever you be, wherever you do. Come out, wherever you am. How's the government looking for you?
Wait a minute, stranger!
You scare somebody stiff like that. I'm looking for hillbillies as you are.
I ain't saying I am and I ain't saying I ain't.
Well, that's close enough for me because I'm tired of walking myself. The government told me I got to bring in a hillbilly. So you come go with me to Washington?
I ain't a going!
That's the color of another horse. Well, I tell you, you don't go for me. We go for the Navy.
No!
I go for the Navy. Well, I tell you, go for the Army.
No, I won't go for the Army.
No,
it's too bad he was as good at it as he was. The character he played was planted in a lot of people's head, and they remember it the rest of their lives as clear as an auto accident.
What's that? Are you an Indian?
Yes, I... Man, you don't know. I'm Indian. I got one fold of Cherokee, two folds Seminole, and I got four fields Hiawatha.
Wait a minute. Hiawatha was a woman.
I can't help it. I got four fifths of them.
He played in movies with other actors who were as American as Mom's raspberry jello. If they accepted the stereotype, how wrong could it be?
Judge Riggins. I see you someplace.
Well, I'm pretty busy.
Yes, but I just want to ask if you cared about it.
Care about what?
About over at my house, night before last.
Oh, another baby?
Yes, you sure guessed it, you heard.
What's his name?
Oh, we call him L.R. Lars Rigby Livingston.
Oh, named him after me, did you?
Yes, the Lars Rigby. I told my wife, Ethel, I said, honey, I know Judge sure gonna be gratified.
Well, of course, yes, I appreciate the honor.
Yes, sir.
I suppose a compliment, and I ought to do something for it.
Yes, sir, that's what I thought, because...
You come over to my place tomorrow, and I'll give you a job.
Job?
Rake and leave.
Mm-hmm. I asked him to wait.
All-American little Shirley Temple played a lot of parts that involved her with black actors. She was always real nice to them.
Oh, James Henry, you always do it wrong.
This is an imitation step and fetch it named Willie Best with Shirley.
Come on, Miss Burgess. I just won't budge. I'll show them I'm not
the cute little white girl was brave and strong in the face of danger. And the big black man was stupid and cowardly.
What are you afraid of them for?
Oh, honey child, them Yankees is mighty powerful. They can even change the weather.
Yes?
Whenever they come around, I never know whether it's winter or summer. I'm shivering and sweating at the same time.
James Henry, serve these cookies to Master Harold and wipe his chin.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Bud.
She was good to them, and they were good to her. Sort of a master and pet relationship.
How would you like to see Uncle Billy dance? Oh!
All right, James Henry, let's get going, son.
This is Bill Bojangles Robinson, one of the great ones. But if he wanted to work and dance, he had to come into a picture through the servant's entrance. Good to children, too. They loved their little mistress, and she treated them real good.
Hello, Sally Ann.
Just like they were equals.
Go on now, Sally Ann.
Miss Virgie, please, ma'am. We all done come here to wish him any happy, happy
returns.
That's it. Many happy returns of the day. And we all done made you a dollar. Here it is, Miss Percy. There was more I had to say, but, Emmy, I forgot it.
Don't you worry. This is the very nicest present I got. Thank you ever so much.
Yes, indeed, children. It was very thoughtful and sweet. Come now, dear.
I'll see you later. Same day.
Oh, we'll be waiting.
I suppose it might have surprised a lot of Hollywood producers to know singing like that could actually make a lot of people, mostly black, sick to their stomach. This is a lot of fun, isn't it? The newsreels that were shown along with feature films knew a good thing when they saw one. They helped keep all the black cats in their place. Nobody black ever did anything very newsy in a newsreel. They did things like eat watermelon in watermelon eating contests. Then another favorite for the newsreel cameraman was to film people throwing things at them. Good sport. Some college football publicity man decided this was a good idea. And there were a lot of very funny golf pictures. If you weren't black, they were funny, I guess.
Lie down. Just right out of your mouth.
Don't miss, boss. Don't miss.
Well, you keep still, see? Otherwise, you'll have flour in your room and you won't smell them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wait, hey.
Everything suggested the black man was nothing.
Hey,
Hollywood adopted a sort of British attitude toward black natives of other countries. They were always sneaking around in the bushes, you know, carrying stuff on their head. White men weren't supposed to get caught sweating. This scene in a picture called Prestige stated the colonial attitude.
Don't let it break, Andre. Take to him your race for a wedding gift. The prestige of the white man. That means everything you stand for, and it is the only weapon you two will have. Prestige. But it is enough to preserve you.
Yes, sir. And I'll try to remember it. If you'll kiss me.
Even though most non-white natives of any place were savages in films, it often pleased white producers to endow a few chosen blacks with the virtue of great loyalty to him, the white man. Here's one defending Ann Harding to the death. There was always one loyal and true black man who would do anything for his master. Some of them were wonderful people. You know, if you really get a good one. Mostly, though, Negroes were not heroes. They were a bit part servants. Railroad porters.
Watch your step. Watch your step, sir. Well, this is your destination, folks.
They made very good chauffeurs. Look good in their caps.
Good morning, Colonel, sir.
They were great at serving all kinds of drinks.
Mm-hmm. That coffee, you old, stays with you like four relations.
What's that you got there?
Your Thatcher's tea.
Wherever there was a thirsty master, there were they also.
Mom,
Beck. Play it in Jemima.
Will you have enough?
I don't know if I can stretch one small chicken, but as long as the water's running, we'll have soup enough.
Lottie. Will you take Kay upstairs, Marsh, all like goo off her face and give her a good...
And one question they never answered. When the Negro woman was taking care of the white woman's kids, who was taking care of hers? They did all kinds of odd jobs around the picture, like walking horses. And when they weren't walking the horses, they were out back playing craps, of course. Recreation. They met people at the station for their masters.
Is you folks...
We've come all the way from Ireland. Mr. Milford's expecting us. Mr. Milford.
Yes'm. Yes'm, you is which I'm looking for. I'm Mr. Milford's boy.
His boy, you say?
Yes'm. Murphy's the name, sir.
Did you say Murphy?
Yes, Miss Murphy. They calls me Walkin' Murphy.
Walkin' Murphy?
Yes'm. Most of us Murphys down here just sit. I won't.
They make wonderful servants, all kinds in pictures. Dumb but loyal.
Yes. Yeah. Zach, isn't this a beautiful night? I just love parties, don't you?
I beg your pardon?
Thank you kindly. Yes? Hello? Oh, this is the Barragun residence.
Oh, come on, Mona.
Now, things were getting pretty tough during the 30s. And a good thing for a lot of black actors was that they made a movie called The Green Pastures with, like they say, a cast of thousands. It gave a lot of people work, but it had all the old stereotyped characters. It was clever and funny and all black. But it was a white man's picture.
Henry, you sure got the prettiest wings.
Oh, they just my old ones.
Cigars, gentlemen.
Oh, Lord, the smokehouse is empty. Oh, Lord, let me get them groceries. Oh, Lord, let me see that little six.
Where?
Come on, you're going to feed me or not? Hey!
Were you just a little boy, gambling and sinning and chewing tobacco like you was your own pappy? And you've been drinking Sonny Kick Mammy wine, too. You gamblers ought to be ashamed of yourself leading this boy to sin.
Well, he's the best crapshoot in town.
You find my mammy, do more than I can.
While Hollywood was turning out films, radio came along and decided to get in on it, too. Two white fellows from Chicago invented two black characters they named Amos and Andy. They played their parts on the radio for 30 years. This is them doing their bit.
Well, Brother Crawford looks pretty good since he's been here, Tom. Seems, do it.
Yeah, looked like his wife done beat him on the...
When radio moved over to let television in, Amos and Andy went with it. These two white cats couldn't play Amos and Andy where you could see them, so what they did was they had a black cast. The cast was different, but the stereotypes were the ones that the white people had come to know and love. They were shady characters with money.
Well, I got the books right here, and they're open to each and every brother complete inspection. Get your hands off of that thing there. So you want to see the financial books, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there he is. There he is. You done see them. At the meeting of jurors.
They were still slow and lazy.
Are you sure they are not here?
Oh, yes, sir. They told me so themselves.
Have them report to our office right away.
I sure tell them all right.
I got to see
them. They had trouble with the English language. Misused words a lot.
And Mr. Brown, my new secretary here, ain't gonna have no time for no extracurricular activities.
And I'm telling you now, as long as you have that secretary in your office, I'm going to work as a secretary myself.
Oh, give me an ultimato, huh? I'm putting my foot down.
They had trouble with women. And it was always the women who were dominant. Mostly black actors aren't playing the old stereotypes anymore. There are people who say they're playing a new stereotype. Sidney Poitier is always helping some little old ladies across the street, whether they want to go or not. The black people in this country got a bum deal for a long while, and it won't hurt much if we see a little of that now and then. Stanley Kramer has let us use some scenes from Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You look at these and remember Birth of a Nation. This is the opening scene when Catherine Houghton is bringing Sidney home for the first time.
This is Dr. Prentice. John, Miss Matilda Binks.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Binks. I've certainly heard a great deal about you.
Catherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy are the girl's parents.
Thank God he's right. She's 23 years old, and the way she is just exactly the way we brought her up to be. We answered her questions. She listened to our answers. We told her it was wrong to believe that the white people were somehow essentially superior to the black people, or the brown or the red or the yellow ones, for that matter. People who thought that way were wrong to think that way. Sometimes hateful, usually stupid, but always, always wrong. That's what we said. And when we said it, we did not add, but don't ever fall in love with a colored man.
Sidney tells it like it is to his old man.
You and your whole lousy generation believe the way it was for you is the way it's got to be. And not until your whole generation has lain down and died will the dead weight of you be off our backs. You understand? You've got to get off my back. Colored man. I think of myself as a man.
By the time the world of movies and the world of education get into the streets of black America, some strange things happen. Because what history and the movies have told the black man is that he's nobody unless he joins the white world. The white world only comes into the black ghetto by messenger.
The message used to read, "Black is nothing, white is beautiful." For this reason, a lot of black people have spent their lives trying to be white. For instance, hair. Some people still call straight hair good hair because it looks like white hair. Kinky hair is bad hair. The man on the right is having his hair cut naturally. The man on the left is having a process. What the barber is doing is applying harsh chemicals to his head so he'll have straight hair, like all those movie stars have. It's a painful, long job that costs about $6 and has to be looked after every couple of weeks. These days, many young black men find the whole process demeaning. It's going out of fashion, even in the ghetto. It takes pain to become like a white man, and more pain when you know you can't make it. For a while, it seemed to the black community that the way to escape was to get as rich as possible and look as white as possible. And as affluence came to some black people, all the lessons of history and all the lessons of the movie seemed to be succeed on the white man's terms. So, the middle-class Negro took the white man's dreams and tried to make them his. Today, many middle-class Negroes have the education and the money to provide themselves with all the white man's dreams but one, universal social acceptability. He has not yet been able to join in any normal or casual way the white man's affluent society, so he has his own. The white man's attitudes still exclude the black man and the black woman.
There's a fallacy in this country that says that any man by his merit can make it. That is not true. Do not believe that. It is not true. Because any man in this society cannot make it. That's where the whole fallacy is.
The
white man keeps saying to you, if you just stop being black, if you just stop shooting your people on Saturday night, if you just stop talking Negro dialogue, if you clean yourself up, get yourself a job, you're going to make it in this society. It's not true. I know for myself I have a master's degree in social work, and I know that people won't accept me. And I was an honor student, and I know I can make it. They won't accept me. They don't discriminate against me because I'm a Christian. They're discriminating against me because I'm black.
The message down here is coming in stronger. It's be yourself, be black. The new generation of black young Americans is asserting itself in a new and possibly disturbing way. Many black Americans are giving up on American society. If you can't wash white, even if you have the money, if you can't wash white because you are basically black, what you do is react, sometimes radically. Here is a measure of the reaction to white is beautiful. This is a storefront school in Philadelphia. The children are being given a black preparation before they enter the city's schools. They're not especially gifted children, they're just from the neighborhood. One black man named John Churchville put it all in finance.
Right? You understand that?
Yeah.
All right. A number is a concept of quantity or an amount. That is wrong.
No!
A number is a concept of quantity or an amount. That is dead wrong.
He's not only teaching new math to children whose ages range from 17 months to 5 years, he's decided to give them the emotional armor they need to protect themselves against the education they're sure to receive when they start kindergarten.
Anybody tells you something wrong, are you going to do it?
No!
What do you want, Janelle?
I want freedom.
When do you want it?
I want my freedom now.
No, you have to wait till next week, Janelle. You can't have it now. Can you wait till next week?
Yes.
Okay. Sit down. All right, young man, stand up. When do you want your freedom, young man?
I want freedom now.
You can wait till next week, though, can't
you? No.
Michael, you just have to wait till next week. You can't have it now. Are you willing to wait till next week?
No.
Suppose I said that you have to wait till next week. Now, you're going to wait till next week, aren't you?
No.
How are you going to get your freedom?
I will use any means necessary to get my freedom.
Any means necessary?
Yes.
You know, all right, sit down. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Eric Houston.
Levante. What is your nationality?
My nationality is Afro-American.
What is freedom?
Freedom is black power.
What is black power?
Black power is...
Do you know what black power is?
No.
Well, then you should never use, you should never make any statements if you don't know what they mean.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
All right. How old are you, young man?
I am 4 years old.
You're not four, Aaron. Now, you tell me your right age. How old are you? How old are you?
I am 4 years old.
Are you sure you're four?
Yes.
You're going to let me turn you around and tell you you're some other age? You're 6 years old, Eric.
No.
I can't hear you, Eric.
No.
Are you being frightened by me?
No.
I'm a teacher. I said you're six.
I am 4 years old.
All right, then. You stand up for it, then. You shouldn't be weak. You stand up and say it. You ought to scream it in my face if I try to tell you different, right?
Yes.
Have a seat. Stand up, young man. Are you a Negro, Travis?
No.
Are you a flunky, Travis?
No.
What are you?
I am black and beautiful.
And what else are you? Are you a boy?
No.
What are you?
I'm a man.
What kind of man?
Black and beautiful man.
Well, what kind? Are you an old man or a young man?
Young man.
Very good. Very good. Are you going to let somebody just make you a boy?
No.
All right. Suppose I tell you something wrong, Travis. Are you going to do it?
Yes.
You're going to do something if I tell you when it's wrong?
No.
Have a seat, young man. Eric? You're going to be reasonable, aren't you?
No.
Come here. Here you are. Fine young man, right?
Yes.
Are you going to be scared of me?
No.
Are you going to be scared of some president of the United States?
No.
Some mayor?
No.
Some policeman?
No.
All right. You're a Negro.
Yes.
You're a Negro, Eric.
No.
Somebody pass me my stick. I said you're a Negro, boy.
No.
You're getting mighty soft. You're a Negro.
No.
Very good. All right, sit down. You, young man, you come here. Your nationality is American Negro. Yes.
No.
Your nation... Now, look, don't play with me. You're a Negro.
No.
I am...
No.
Suppose I threatened to beat you, what would you say? Aren't you a Negro now?
No.
What are you?
I'm black and beautiful.
What is your nationality?
My nationality is Afro-American.
Suppose I had some money in my pocket. Suppose I gave you a dollar to say that you're an American Negro. This is money now. Money talks. Money talks. This dollar... And if you don't say it, you don't get it. You're an American Negro, aren't you?
No.
You won't have any money. You know you need money, don't you?
Yeah.
You need money to live, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. All you have to say, Leon, is that you're an American Negro. Aren't you an American Negro? Are you an American Negro?
No.
What are you?
I'm black and beautiful.
What's your nationality?
My nationality is Afro-American.
Very good, man. Keep it up. Go sit down. You had to think about that a minute, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. All right, everybody. What is your nationality?
My nationality is Afro-American.
All right. What are they going to do to you in different ways when you get out of the school? They're not going to just come right up to you and... give you a dollar, or say if you say that you're an Afro-American, if you say you're an American Negro, I'll give you a dollar. But they're going to be very nice to you, some of them, and they're going to try to, you know, get you not to love black people. They're going to try to get you to, you know, be something other than you are. They're going to try to make you, make it seem as though you're different from the masses of black people. And they want you to be, go away. Now, I'm telling you, I'll give you special things if you just come along with me and do what I say. But you must reject that. Now, you know what that means? That means you're not going to have the money you'd like to have, and money is not important. We need money. We, you know, we have to buy things with it, but money is not the thing that we're living for. The only thing that makes a person worth living is being a man and being a woman, being strong in character, being straight, telling the truth, and living in the truth and doing the right thing. You understand that? So no matter what happens, I want you all to always tell the what? You may not get the marks you're supposed to get in school. You may be doing the work, but because the teacher doesn't like your attitude, and she'll always tell you, I don't like your attitude. Because you're independent, but you're not going to school for grades. You're going for what?
Learn.
All right. And what kind of people is everybody in this room going to be? Tell me the kind of people you're going to be.
Black and blue.
What else? You're already that. What are you going to be? You're going to be stupid?
No.
What kind of people are you going to be?
Excellent.
You're going to be excellent. And what else? Yes, ma'am.
And strong.
And strong. And what else?
And good.
And good. And what else?
And genius.
And a genius. And what else? I'm looking for another word. All of you are geniuses right now, and you'll be better than that. What else? I'm looking for a word that begins with a B. Brilliant. Brilliant. And brilliant really means to shine. And all of you will shine. All of you are really going to be brilliant. Good enough. All right. How does everybody feel now? You ready to get ready for lunch?
Yeah!
Who's hungry?
Well, that's kind of like brainwashing. Or is it? I mean, can you blame us for overcompensating? I mean, when you take the way black history got lost, stolen, or strayed. When you think about the kids drawing themselves without faces. And when you remember the fine actors who had to play baboons to make a buck. I guess you got to give us a sin of pride. Pride, hubris in the original Greek. It's 300 years we've been in this American melting pot and we haven't been able to melt in yet, and that's a long wait. Listen, we've been trying all kinds of parts to make the American scene. We've been trying to play it straight and white, but it's been just bit parts. Now, from now on, we're going to play it black and American, because we're proud of both. Hubris. I'm Bill Cosby, and you take care of yourself.
All right. What is a set?
A set is a collection of objects.
What is a subset?
A subset is part of a set.
What is a member?
A member is one unit of a set.
What, in terms of set comparison, does larger mean? I'm everybody together. I'm going to ask you all a question. Let's see if you can do it. All right. What is arithmetic?
Arithmetic is the size of a number.
What is a number?
A member is one unit of a set.
What is, in terms of set comparison, what does larger mean?
Larger means a set that has more than the 10.
In terms of set comparison, what does smaller mean?
Smaller means a set less.
All right. All right. Now, quickly, look up on the board, relax, but think very quickly. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. In terms of set comparison, we want to compare two sets, and I want you to tell me which is larger. The first time around.
A number is a concept of quantity.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Greetings, 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 greetings. thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haru, and today, guys, as you guys always know, we're always joined with the EAR platform, guys, and what we do here in the Motivational Classroom each Saturday is we do just that. You know, it's a motivational classroom. What we do is we pick a topic and we, you know, pretty much discuss the topic. All of us don't have, we like to have a classroom. We like to, the stage we like to set, guys, is a classroom stage where we like to learn together, grow together. You know, we don't know it all. We don't want to profess that we know it all, you know, because we're in every right. So, you know, this is the foundation of a classroom that we do here, guys. So we enjoy doing this here, guys. The classroom has grown so beautifully, guys. And today we're going to be talking about Bill Cosby. As you guys heard the clip, I entitled it Bill Cosby Speaks on America, and we're pretty much here to decode it in our perspective, right? So Eternal actually sent this clip to the EAR chat, and he sent it, and I remember this clip years ago, guys, but I remember it when I was first in my awakening process, you know, quote, awakening process, a reactivation process, however you slice that, and I remember listening to it, and I remember being in anger, you know, angry, you know, just angry at the white man, angry at white supremacy, you know, just angry, and now that I revisit this, the ending part had me in tears, y'all. But now that I revisit this, you know, in kind of a balanced aspect, you know, a balanced perspective, more so today. And, you know, my thing is, you know, the slavery narrative, you know, I understand what happened in history. But, you know, my question to the ultimate is, you know, when we have these narratives, why do we always have to go back to the slavery narrative? Now, with that being said, is I feel that it's wise to, you know, understand what happened to us, why it happened to us in the fashion, and then, you know, it kind of hurts our heart that, you know, what our ancestors had to go through and all of that. But ultimately, y'all, what do we do now? What do we do now with everything that we know that we have come through, that we have hurt through, that we have grown through, that we have beat is the, you know what I'm saying? Like, all we got all of that in history, but when do we start to get back to our royalty? All right? So when do we start to get back to our royalty? You know what I mean? So not only in this particular broadcast are we revisiting history, but I also want to touch on the Mayotte aspect, where we can start to insert, you know, getting back to our royalty. All right? So, guys, if you want to call in, the number to call in is going to be area code 929-477-3423. The number to press is 1. If you want to be a part of the broadcast, guys, if you have a question, anything like that. And I want to give a shout-out to none other than Bill Cosby because, you know, guys, shout out to the movie Ghost Dad. That was my first introduction in the 80s to Bill Cosby. That movie used to scare the shit out of me, but I knew that there was some fucking truth to that fucking movie. The movie Ghost Dad, you guys. Bill Cosby, I feel, was wise beyond his years. So this is a broadcast in honor and dedication to him and to his hard work and to the outside of the judging, the man. You know what I mean? The messages, the wisdom, the jewels such as this that he left, you guys. I feel that a good suggestion is to, you know, stop, I dislike using the word stop because I'm not telling you what the fuck to do because nobody can tell me what the fuck to do. But it's just a suggestion to, you know, may instead of judging our ancestors of, you know, the bad shit that they've done in order to survive, you know, however, but looking deeper at the messages in which, you know, that was encoded within the messages that they left us, guys. You know what I'm saying? We don't know why some of our ancestors had to do some of the shit they had to do to survive out here in Hollywood. We have no fucking idea. So before we judge them, let's give an honor to them and for, you know, the intention they may have had going into all of this. So that's my stance with Bill Cosby, all right? So shout out to you if this reaches you. You are loved. All right, guys, so Eternal. Peace on to you guys, to the Ear family. Eternal, you brought this to our attention. So, yeah, just tell us why this clip, why this message in our now. Eternal, you may be muted on your end.
Peace.
All right. Okay, peace. There we go.
Greetings. How's everybody?
Doing great. Refreshed.
Okay. All right. Is this you, huh?
Greetings. Peace and love.
Oh, there
peace
we go.
Love.
All right. There we go.
That's the answer.
All right. Yeah.
I'm in the background, moving around a
okay,
little bit.
Okay, there
she
is. All right. It's cool. It's cool. We all in life, you know. It's in his upbringing, how we bring ourselves back up. From the Disney to the commercialized propaganda that we've been put into our lives, how much that even from the DMX situation to even how it rained. It was raining over here in this part of the season in Virginia. So it's all a lot. Why are we crying? What do we put our tears for? How do we shed our shadow work? Some of us put it in programs, like how you see Bill Cosby took his moment of stardom and then curve it. Now, of course, some of us don't have the ability to curve it. And then what do we do when we throw it in the opposite direction? Would it still hit us and ricochet and show how we got holes in our glass when we created this glass house? The reality to a lot of things is when we start to do things, are we able to cover our tracks? And, of course, not all of us can cover our tracks because it's called truth. Truth don't just pop up. The major thing about this is that women were the issue and women weren't talked about. And it was like ironic how to get on a TV set and it lasted for that long, but what could have lasted was the fact that there was not talked about the main issue, our children being at a point not making it into this world, so abortion, who also the children actually not having a mother or their father. And again, these are still the issue from the DMX to even Bill Cosby. They're without their children. If anything, we look at what are we doing from an inside to an outside, and then the outside being that riddle why the inside was affected in the first place. I mean, everybody loves some vanilla pudding, at least not everybody, but some of us did. And at this point, we were advertising to sell not only the product, we ended up selling ourselves short of the reality. What is our culture really about? It wasn't just about the Fat Albert, and it wasn't just about the Brown Hornet, yet these were the lifestyles that some of us actually were in. Now we don't say the word fat like that. We say it P-H-A-T. So in order to change the negative, we have to actually go into the negative and become a positive. And, of course, not most of our children are in junkyards getting these pieces and making their fine jewelry out of it. However, in the trash, just as I find copper to help actually mold the energy. It's a collective here right now. Pardon self, I have to escape for the moment, but I will be coming back in. We'll talk soon. Just get some energy off to you in a second. I do have a customer, so I'm a multitask. I'm going to get in tune with you in a second. But the main key thing is learning your outside shell and your inside shell and who's around you and how you shell up or how you sell up. So how do you swell up with your thoughts? How do you make it, you know, your way of being tuned with the nature and mother and how that's supposed to be the effect as well as not just speaking masculine and feminine, black and white, because it does bring fingers back at you and then they start to ask you, well, what were you doing all your life? And so we will be reflected by what we do on a constant. If you're throwing out seeds, know what you're planting.
All right. There it is. I think Eternal spoke about truth, you know, the importance of living his truth. But Auntie LJ, peace onto you. How are you just rising? And, yeah, your week, how have you been?
Oh, my goodness. Peace and love to everybody. Hey, I don't know if y'all can hear it in my voice.
I hear it.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I've been ripping and running. I've had a lot of family time, a lot of new things are coming into fruition. I became a new auntie as of 12:38. It's rising, so the energy is still plentiful and bountiful. New life is coming as old life is transitioning, and you know, things are just happening. And I'm kind of these numbers and days and things like that are just kind of like, whoa. Energy is definitely energy. So for that, ashe to the energy, ashe to things that are no longer needed, falling off, making room for things that are coming that have been waiting for me to let go and make space and make room to do so.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to do that even in our subconscious. We got to go clean house.
Yes.
Got to clean house for everything you do. You got to get rid of the old, make room for the new. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want new stuff. I want new stuff. Well, you don't have any room for new stuff because you're still holding on to old stuff. So we talked about, Eternal talked about trust. You got to trust you. You got to trust that you are right where you need to be to get what you say you want the way you want it. Even in your inner child, your secrets, your dark spaces, your, you know, these gray areas where you got one foot in the light, one foot in the dark, and we call it balance. But some of us are mostly imbalanced in that space because we've never seen anybody balance talk about what it looks like. We've never had a comparison to what balance with ourselves looks like. So that's something that we have to create. We create balances with ourselves, with other people, outside forces, energy, experiences, and entities. But we really have to take time to know what balance for ourselves with ourselves looks like. And it's a process. You know, and sometimes it's quick. And it's like, oh, you got it. And then sometimes you'll be like, damn, I should have got it, but I didn't get it because I'm still trying to balance. You know, so, you know, that's a process. And it ain't no, how do you call it, expiration date. on that. You going to get it or you going to get it. And you going to go through what you need to go through to get it. So sometimes it just takes for you to clean up so you can get it. Instead of fumbling and bumbling and beating yourself up with all this stuff that's in your way that don't need to be there. And then you say, oh, the world's so hard. No, you kicking your own ass. Ain't nobody doing nothing to you. You just won't clean up.
It's all you. The level of that.
It's all you.
The
But what I was getting ready to go with that is that it's the trust. You got to trust you.
The trust. There it is.
We'll trust our friends. We'll trust our boss. We'll trust government. We'll trust what people tell us.
And we're the last
that they see in us.
We're the last to look at.
Right, but no, nobody, how many people, and I posted this, I think last week, week before last, how many people ever led you back to you? When you went to them with a question.
Ever.
When you went to them with a question, and you said, I got a question. And they turned around and said, well, I might have an answer, or I got an answer. And then you asked whatever that question was. And they gave you everything they wanted to give you from their perspective, yet they never thought of you. So because they didn't trigger you in that thought, it didn't trigger you to think you first. It's
Eternal says the soul
is
it starts with the emotion.
Yeah, a lot of us are triggered with these things that we got from being a baby. These sounds that we heard in the womb before we even knew that we had a body. You know what I'm saying? Vibration. So we have to alter the vibration, the way that the teacher in the clip, he's giving them synapses or scenarios in which to trigger them to think as they speak. He's giving them, but he can alter what he's giving them because it's coming from an outside force. When if you would have those conversations with yourself to which society told you it was mental illness and you was crazy. But if you had more conversations like that with yourself, you would introduce yourself to rocks and understand what was a mineral and what was an uncut diamond also being a mineral. You've become the diamond by applying pressure, and yet you mad at everybody because you're carrying weight. Clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of what you don't need. Reintroduce yourself to you and find balance in that now. Because we don't always have to maintain consistent balance. And there, we are imperfection as much as we are perfection. So we don't maintain balance all the time. Let me say that. Mm-hmm. Let me be the first to say that. If y'all fuck with Auntie, y'all know I'm a little special. I'm unorthodox like a motherfucker. I love you and cuss you out and be mad as fuck at you and make you bump your head. And come back around and then hug on you and tell you you're going to be all right. I'm a roller coaster. I am definitely a roller coaster. Look, you better hold on. Goddamn, don't come over here talking about you want to ride. I'm going to take your ass some places, even if it's just from my perspective. You understand? My inner child be coming up like, I'm finna play with you whether you want to play or not, motherfucker. Get your bells and your tamarind. Get your block. We need some race cars over here. We're the remote control to the race car. We going outside to drive in puddles.
Auntie, isn't that what they did, though, in history? The family unit, isn't that what we did, though? We've lost that. I'm
going to say something, and it's been on my heart for weeks. And it's triggered by my personal situation with daycare, as far as MJ goes. I was talking to a sister friend of mine last night. We were on the phone till about 5 o'clock. And I've been around family for the last 2 weeks consistent, every day, all day. Since before Easter, I've been around family. And it's just been it's been interesting how it's playing itself out. But the revelation is really stirring up a revolution, and I have to understand the healing process that it takes to push past wanting to fight. And being okay with freeing so that I don't have to flee. You understand? So
I don't actually. I don't actually.
Okay. What it is I'm in a generational cycle. And it's hard to make people do what you want them to do. Yet people do what they want to do. So you have to let that be what it is, because that's what you are. So the reflection. Yeah, I came up in a time where we had grandma. And rather grandma was in church or not, or if she gambled and, you know, was the hood granny nanny type thing. Grandma, we don't have women living life in a way that they're supporting community. Well, Ezra, what are you fuck is you talking about? Where's grandma who said, you know, in my day, grandma would walk the kids to the bus stop to school in the morning or sit in the window on the stoop. And in my day, if grandma seen a woman struggling with her children and, you know, she running and rushing and in this Bill Cosby energy of, you know, you got a man, but you got to hide the man when the social services people come over. But they removing the man from the household, making you a overly masculine woman, becoming excessively independent, not understanding that you're losing something that you're supposed to be codependent with in relationships of community so that there is unity. So Deanna was saying, you know, I remember that. You know, like you go outside, you got your kids in your purse in your bag, you're trying to get the kids out the front to the bus stop. It would always be an elder in the hood that would be outside. And she was kind of like the neighborhood grandmama. She'd take her grandkids and, you know, her household, and then she'd chastise all the other kids up to the bus stop. Y'all stop running in that street. Stop fighting. Da-da-da-da-da, whatever. So we had a community of which you really didn't need. You needed the daycare, but it was always an elder that was there to put the umbrella. You get what I'm saying? So now in today's society, we've been so separated that you barely even know your next-door neighbor's name. And you're in a community of which not only did they remove the black or indigenous man out of the home, but they removed you from being okay with the family that's around you. So most of us ain't close-knit intricately within our own relative setup. And then we're in the world and we've forgotten how to allow others to not necessarily take the place of, but fill the void of an energy that we just gonna look out for each other. We just gonna take care of each other. We just gonna work with each other. These were women that if they noticed your baby had a speech impediment, they would sit on the porch and they would feed your baby candy or fruit and teach your baby how to say words until you pulled around the corner running 15 minutes late because you had to stop and get gas. We're losing family, y'all. We losing it.
Yeah.
As a people.
Mm-hmm.
As a people. We're disconnecting. We're in these phones. Society has even come up with a way to keep us social distancing. And yet we're not even intimate in the community where we can say, we don't have to worry about social distancing because we're eating right and we're implementing the proper foods and vitamins amongst us and we're talking and we're coming up with plans and ways that we're actively doing something different. Everybody talk about keep moving forward, don't look back. You better look back and see what it used to be that it is no more. You better compare the time. Because I remember a time when the women came together in the hood, had a baby. We looked out for one another's latch key kids. Your kids could come to our house and play Atari. Y'all don't know nothing about Atari. They could come to our house and play Uno. And we wasn't talking about put your mask on and no, y'all got to stay on the porch because I got a baby in here and my mom in here and she's sick. And where did fear come in and how did fear come in and remove family? Because your family, not your DNA, that's your relative. Your family is the community of people around you that share similar struggles to your very own. Eternal. When the last Eternal, time you seen a sister?
Okay.
Oh, he's still doing that? Okay, well, nephew, when even in your generation? Oh, okay, well, bring him in. Because my question is, when's the last time you've seen, and you are in a community of which people are doing the awakening and working together as common unity community where you're, you know, y'all eating together, breaking bread together, doing rituals together, conducting trade and barter together, having a system. When's the last time you've seen a sister chastise another sister's child?
Ooh, it's been a minute. I rarely see it. I see it in my family because that's what we do. But you said even outside the family unit, I haven't seen that in a long time now that I think about it.
When you was in elementary school, your mama
always saw it.
To chastise you.
Yeah.
Your mama.
Yeah.
If you
that
spent the night in her boy.
when
she. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Second and third mama. We had about four mama.
Her best friend. Yep. Her best friend was your surrogate mother.
Yeah.
Her best friends could come and get you from school. Her best friends could take you to other family members' houses. they would greet them like family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They would walk in the house just like your mama walked in the house. And they all knew that they was coming, and we ain't had no cell phones back then. We ain't had no pagers all the way back then. That stuff started coming. But it was common unity. It was community. You know this, my bestie. My bestie know my sister. My bestie know my mama. My bestie know my daddy and my uncle. So when bestie got the kids, bestie can drop the kids off just like everybody, you know, everybody else. And then we started wanting to get, like, other folk. And they called it soccer mom.
Secret sense of society.
Or basketball mom, schmom, or, you know, all these old title type things. You see what I'm saying?
You turning you back? I do. I want to see if you turn it back. I definitely would love to hear what he has to say on that. Particularly.
Yeah,
but
I want to.
Okay. He see the message. Hold on.
I want to hear his feel. And if there's any callers, I want them to chime in on that.
Let me go to
come on in and chime in on that. Because, see, what they did is they told us that we shouldn't be spanking our children. And then they started mentally spanking our children through the school system.
There are a lot of secret
they told
orders,
us,
you know, secret orders, secret
yeah, well, what
shit.
It, what it came down to was mental manipulation. If I can get the black woman to push the school thing, then she gonna put them in school and we gonna program. And yet we running around here talking about them giving us nine technology in the shot. But shit, they've been programming us the whole time that they've been talking about school. They've been programming us the whole time they've been talking about getting our public assistance, but you can't have a man in your house. And if you got a man in your house, now we got you and your man, so we guarantee you to have your child.
Okay, he was
so
muted.
Now that we got your child.
You there now.
Eternal, come on, don't be acting like you don't hear me trying to get
Eternal,
you in here. Shoot.
Restate
no,
your
my
phone,
my phone been acting
statement. Up. Restate your statement and question, though, Auntie.
I said, when is the last time in the community that you have created, you know, there personally for yourself, with being amongst the community, the sisters, y'all breaking bread together, y'all having spiritual time together, y'all conducting trade and barter together. You know, the sisters are active, the brothers are active, everybody is communing in that family unit that you all have, you know, created in the community. So the question was, when's the last time you seen another sister swat another sister's child?
I don't see that happening. I've seen this little brother actually tap a little brother in front of the mother, and she said, "Don't hit my child like that. Don't be touching my child. Don't be hitting my child."
Let's expound on that if you don't mind, because I think what Auntie is saying, in addition to that, I think ultimately what Auntie is expressing is, you know, how it was kind of like that policy and that commune thing to where the another sister's, you know, friend was able to chastise the child, or another brother's, you know, homeboy, you know, from back in the day was able to chastise and discipline, you know, his friend's son.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. We lost it. I think that's the message.
Right.
We lost
that's where I'm saying.
Well, I was coming in from the aspect that I saw it on the flip side of it, where that reality was somebody else's nightmare. Because we do want to help, you know, one another. And she's like, you know, in reverse, it was like, you know, don't touch my child. You don't know my child. You know, these conversations. So to actually be there, you actually have to be there with that child, you know, and to see that in society, we move around a lot. I mean, it went from father was a Rolling Stone to the mom had to leave home, you know, and had to take the child with her. So it's a lot of when we were in that community, the B communion, we had that, but then we, you know, we also moved away from it. So then there's also the lifestyle, like, we didn't really have malt liquor like we got malt liquor now. So the effects to the alcohol and how it leads to the alternate side of self. Uncle was the good uncle. Then all of a sudden he drink that liquor and he changed. And now he's touching, you know,
his
daughter or the aunt, you know. And these things actually happen right now because I'm like reliving it through other people, hearing them tell me about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their daughter who they sent to, you know, the grandma because, you know, mom got to work. So they send grandma, I mean, send mm-hmm. the daughter to grandma, but forget about uncle knowing that he's the one that basically likes to drink. And so the good side is there, but then there's the bad side, the flip side, the one
as
that
well.
The idea that the story that doesn't get told usually don't come from the children as much as we think. And so they border all that energy into them. You see their shoulders, they're depressed in their shoulders. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I took massage school, and what they told me was posture is everything. So you'll see a lot in the posture.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever notice knees being knobbled or close to the knees, you're right. Your knees are closely together. Well, you're holding in your root chakra. Now, 9 times out of 10, some of us got touched at an early age that when we were putting our knees are knobbling, like that, you know how you got to walk and your knees are like really close
mm-hmm.
together? Well, it's because of what happened to you in your pastime, we wouldn't know. And so some of us didn't have those conversations from, you know, the ones that got close but got too close, you know what I mean? And there's definitely some that
mm-hmm.
got close, and that was the good ones. So that was great to have those. Just on the flip side, like I said, there's the other ones who got closer than they're supposed to have. And so there's the ones
yeah.
that they end up peeing in the bed, taking
mm-hmm.
a dump on themselves. You know, and when they use the bathroom, they don't make it because their bowels has been warped. And so now – the infection of what happened moving too early into a body that don't even supposed to have those components in there. So it's like the violation
right.
is there, the mental, the spiritual, and the physical is being affected. And so now we see the relays coming out of it. Now, let's say even for Bill Cosby, we should actually look back in the past and say, hey, did you get touched at an early age? Maybe this is why all these other things start to spark up. And why would you want to hang around Hugh Hefner? I wouldn't want to hang around him. You see how many younger women that he was around in the mind of, like, how to have the fast car and the, you know, the old car to the fast car. Some of us mentalities have been warped into that. So now we think of women like sex, like cars.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe cars being sexy and not beautiful. And so these are labels that we put to agree with what society should see or accept me as or accept the world as. So now, like, if you look at, was it Miami Heat? Allen Heat, One Night in Miami, you see all of that in there from Muhammad Ali can't actually go into the restaurant even though he feels like he's, you know, a boxer, world weight boxer that, you know, and then Sam Cooke who do all these songs, but he can't go into the front of the hotel. You got to have somebody, you got to have a manager. So all of these things are connected to this Hollywood lifestyle. And so like a lost angel, like Bobby Hemmett said, we from the man who has fallen out of that generation of that man that has already fallen. So now we got to look at how we build ourselves back up. Now, if none of us are doing that in our lifestyle, then it shows its effect. And it shows its effect not even now, even further from now. Yes, I am. To where if you don't put your shirt on daily, then you have the results of when you don't put your shirt on daily. If the sun is hitting you and it's a shade and shadow cast on you and, you know, you got two tones. You know what I mean? So now is your lifestyle is that. We reflect everything outside because of our inside. And so now when you see these women and you want to talk to them or even, you know, you see the child and you want to talk to her, you got to be now mindful, how is the mom and dad in their dysfunctions or functions? And so now how are you acceptable to dysfunctions when you see function or when you see dysfunction? Do you even step in or you step out? You know what I mean? So it's a lot of that built up now to where we're exploding in different ways. And, yes, we do have to be more mindful. And especially when we were just like, I hit my child, I hit your child. Well, she probably don't hit her child. So now do something different other than hitting it, because, like, from school, setting.
I use SWAT, but...
No, I get you. I was just going to say, as far as discipline... I'm not taking away none of the credit.
You know?
I'm not taking away none of the credit of the discipline. We definitely have to discipline one another, because somebody might spit on somebody and be like, yo, what the... Don't do that, you know, and because the parent is away, they're not looking to see their child do bad things, because they don't think their child does bad things. However, there's good and bad in the child. This is what I meant by the two-tone on the shirt. So if you're walking around and you see this person, they, like, always got their shirt off, like, yo, do you always walk with your shirt off? This is where private and public plays a part, and this is where we as moral people, we have to actually still address that, because we're the ones that's wearing the badges. You're wearing a badge on you. And when you walk around, it's your mobility is shown when you wear that badge all day, every day. Now, I know most of us decide, just like a uniform, because we got started working at a job, we lost that idea of what that badge was about. And so now love, peace, truth, freedom, and justice isn't as justified as we think it is. And we justify the job, the hours. You know, most of the people who work now, they talk about the hours they get on, they get off, and, you know, so now it's all, you know, job talk. So now when you get around an actual being that's not doing those type of things, you don't know how to really react to them, because they're not in that world you're in. So there's different worlds where we're in. That's why, you know, Bill Cosby had to come up with, it's a different world. When Lisa decided to change up her style, the way her living, he couldn't chastise her anymore. He had to say, well, you got to live your life now. I got to look at you from the outside. Even though I disagree with what you're doing, I'm just have to still agree with you. You know, that's you. And you see her lifestyle is going into vanity and showing her body. Ain't nobody saying nothing. They don't let that go on past, and we don't go on past that. Now, how did she get in there? How maybe somebody manipulated her? We don't see those parts. How she might still be in Hollywood, who knows? You got to keep your mouth shut when you're living up in that joint. So it's just like what I just sent to you earlier about, what's her name, Savannah, I forgot her name, but she is Nickelodeon, and she did Disney. I mean, she went in there. The person right next to her, though, wasn't so successful. Like, she'd been touched. She'd been, you know, molested. Her mind is messed up. She done got warped. And because we don't have those best friends or aunts or uncles that's not around them, that woman got done in. Now, however, this sister being melanated, her parents stayed around her, and they still kept that, you know, the actual cultures connected to her. So when they brought her in on Disney and Nickelodeon, whatever, they were, like, giving her the orientated of the westernized mentality. She was like, all right, I'm going to play these parts, but I'm going to play little by little. And then eventually she just came all the way out of it. And then they say, hey, I want you to, you know, be a dancer. I want you to be the artist that you are and sing. But she's singing songs for Disney. That's not an artist. That's a trapped, enslaved, like Prince said, slave person. So she decided not to do none of that, back out, and made it in her own terms. If we're not starting to put that out there, we're just as guilty of going with the flow of it and not really saying, you got to speak your mind, open up, say something. And I definitely am agreeing with you as far as the discipline. We got to have an incentive towards our discipline. What I've noticed is that... go ahead.
What I hear you saying is that some people in Hollywood, you know, some of these up-and-coming people are starting to take their power back early, and they are not signing the papers. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's major knowing of how you sign your soul, your spirit, that whole connection, because you got three bodies in you, and you do it 8 hours of the day. So now when you get up, you got to put on this makeup. No one sees you putting up all that makeup on. I just watched Star Wars just a minute ago, and I was like, yo, they had to go through a lot just to do that movie. And it's not about them doing the movie as the actor or the actress. I'm talking about their life that they had to have still going to wherever it was going as a function and still be able to maintain. This goes back to the DMX thing. You know, we don't have people that are saying, you know what, I know you do coke, I know you drink, I know you smoke and all of these things. Let's do some healing. Let's do some healing sessions. So when you go up in there in the studio, you're going to be feeling like, you know, you connected. I could see that that was majorly disconnected, even though, you know, the idea was I'm going to give these prayers out, I'm going to put them on the end of my albums, and I'm going to make, you know, the connection. Yet this is where we got disconnected at. So we could see that it didn't work. And then on top of that, you at 50. You ain't supposed to live at 50. You're supposed to live past 50. We talking about Bill Cosby living at 80-something, bro. Like, how he get there? So it's like certain things that we're doing in our patterns cause us to live in a dysfunction. And then we don't have, like I said, the camaraderie people. Because, like I said earlier, with the discipline, you do got to have some people around you say, hey, bro, don't go that route. Because even with Ali,
right,
he said certain routes he was going, somebody had to push him to the side. Nah, this street is not for you. Get out of, get off the street. And even Malcolm X. So there's certain things that we as people, we might be looked at as the pawn, the rook, the knight, the bishop, and then there might be the king right next to you, and you're just saying, like, look, I know what rank I'm in, and I know you're a little bit higher in the rank, but we're on the same chessboard. So let me make this move for you so you can apply yourself. You know, if you see the best in an artist, it's just best to help the artist become their best at that, not influence them by all these other vices that's out there. Man, you should get a car. You should get a fat car. You should get a car with them hot wheels and, you know, the toots and the whistles that really don't make nothing, not a difference at all. Now, if anything, say, man, you should get this land and recultivate it and send it back out into the airwaves so that way you can refund yourself. And now you don't have to be, you know, in the future waiting for where your money going to come from. Here you are, an artist, but you're a starving one. And this is what a lot of us like. To this day, our children are in the room. Do you hear me? Our children are in the room. Mm-hmm. They are the starving artists right in front of you. And we're not applying what's needed. So we got to say, hey, you know what? Let me help you. Let me get the sketchbook for you if you draw. Let me get the sketchbook pencils that you use. Instead of giving you the number two pencil that I use, because my mama gave me a number two pencil, you're going to use a number two pencil. Let's not give them the tough road. We done already gave them that. We done already had it. We know what it's like being on the tough road. And, of course, the appreciation, how do they see it, is when they see that after they get through all of that what we call a quote-unquote struggle, you start to say, oh, there was somebody who had my back the whole entire time. The change, this motivational change will happen because as far as the disciplinary action, I had a sister, she said, I smacked that child because I told her to get down. And I said, why'd you smack her again? Because you told her to get down and she didn't move fast enough for you. That's why you smacked her. It wasn't the timing of her recognizing. It was the time of her, it seemed like she was rebelling and she saw herself, so she smacked her. So I was like, okay, well, if you had handled it different, because now she fell, and now she said, see, I told you. But now it's like you rushed that feeling. Like, you was going to make it a spell. You told her to get down before you hurt yourself. And then you hit her because you just felt like she didn't move fast enough. And now she actually does fall. But now you're mad again because the child did fall, and you actually was right. But why did you do all of that? That's a lot of energy you just put out there. If anything, we could have said, hey, come over here and let's do something over here. Then the child would have just automatically came down without even thinking about, you know, I'm doing something wrong or is this good or bad. Now, we could have the lesson right after the child comes away from the situation, because usually when your hands are in something, you still don't listen. Mm-hmm. It's only until you get your hands off of it, look around and start listening to the person talking. A good listener, as Elaine, or is her name? Ellen something.
The generous? Ellen
Generous. The teacher that, Elliot. I forgot. Jane Elliot.
Okay.
How she basically said a good listener is one who looks at the person, right? One who hears the person. And then if you're really a great listener, you be writing it down so you won't forget none of this stuff. This is what our mentality does. I ain't got to write nothing down. I'm in here. I ain't got to learn nothing. Then when you say, is it over there? Is it under the – was you listening? So now that other person's like getting a little bit agitated because it was like, I looked right at you. You was listening to me, but was you there? Was you in your presence? And that's in the Jedi, Star Wars. He said, everything you're learning as a Jedi could be great, but if you're stuck in your past or in your present, it's your I mean, if you're stuck in your past or your future, then it's not your present that's going to help you. Like, you have to actually be present. He said, you might be doing everything you want to do, yet are you actually being in your moment right now? And most of us get so upset. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. And then you didn't get what you want. Now you're mad. You're upset. He's like, I'm giving you everything you want. Why would you act like this? Because I'm not living in my now state. I'm living in this future that ain't even here. So just like the collision that Bill Cosby was facing, he was facing a dream warp. And then he started giving these children who were now adults, like he actually says it in the Bill Cosby clip, that clip I showed you. He says, this is my wife. You don't say that to a child, this is my wife. You just got that child. That. You know what I mean? Alicia Keys, though. Who would have known that was Alicia Keys that he's putting on his lap and start shaking him and bouncing all on his leg like that? And then you have a little boy you bouncing on the leg. When you bounce that boy on the leg, you moving them body parts all around. You got it in your face. Everybody laughing. Then I start to think, that's not something funny. You wouldn't want to have somebody else, your child, in that man's lap. You wouldn't want to put Santa Claus and that man, and then he's going to start doing a little thing with his knee on bouncing him up and down. Then then after he gets him down on the floor, you pat him on the butt. You don't do, that's sexual passing right there. You're doing it right in front of us. You're doing it on a TV show. Right. So now it's bullying out there. Like, this is normal. What we're doing is normal. Wow. And, you know, back in the day, when you're talking about Playboy, we're talking about where coke was really effective. A lot of people didn't talk about it, but a lot of people were the comedians that tapped into it, and that's why they were so they were so funny. They were hilariously funny. You know what I mean? Robin Williams, you got people that was going in, and you hear them talk about John Witherspoon. He spoke
Robin Williams, so Richard Pryor, Steve Harvey has never really
Richard
went
spoke
hard
on
it, but Richard spoke on it regularly.
John Witherspoon spoke on it. He said, we were all in the room with Red Fox and, you know, Elder Reed. We just getting
Red
it in.
Red Fox and them used to talk about the liquor and the cocaine.
And this is why
that's what
this
they
is known as
about.
This. And remember, in the quote, he said, he talked about Sambo. Now, the thing is, I'm already in keen and in tune with the word Sambo because my dad named him Sam, Samuel. And now the L is the L. When you have an L on your name, you're speaking as a teacher. You might not be aware of it, but you're speaking as a teacher. So now, as this teacher is an angel to the gods and the goddesses, and also to the imps and the and whatever you want to call them, Satans or whatever you want to call them that's living on this earth, we are creating the creation out of these things. So now, one who got the name that your mama gave you, see, she probably didn't even know. She put an L on you. So now, you're a noble, you're a Noel, you're all these things that's connected to the L. You're Lee backwards. That's why Bruce Lee is so important to people. They know that he got something. He got something going. It was the L in reverse. We were able to know the illness that we've been dealing with, the Chiron that we have to learn of all 12 zodiacs. Somebody has to go through all 12 of those zodiacs. It's not just one zodiac sign. It's all 12.
Right.
Your face is doing this moon cycle. Your face is doing the sun cycle. So now that you're going through it, what body part are you in right now? What body part are you hurt by? Maybe this person can apply and help because they went through it already.
Eternal, the original title of this broadcast today was supposed to be the 13th Zodiac. So it's amazing that you're mentioning it. What is the 13th Zodiac?
Well,
let's go here first.
Because military started in 1,300 hours. They created this 1,300 hours to get to 24, right? So when we look at 3 times 8, 3 times 8 is 24. We're in the 24 hours of change all the time, right? Now, the difference is this is math, and we got to have math because math is my eye. 10 degrees change each Sunday. Each day the sun changed, so do we. We change 10 degrees each day. So now 360 will be the degrees, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We with you. Okay, his phone mail. Something happened.
The phone messed up.
Okay, Auntie LJ, in your perspective, what is the 13 Zodiac? Because I feel that a lot of we so caught up in these energies and, you know, Aries, that's who I am, you know. But truly, when do we start to tap into we're everything? We're all of them.
Well, but that's just the key. We're all of it, but we've been told that we're only 12 instead of knowing that we are 13. And the 13th, for the 13th Zodiac, I would be an October Earth Day. And things for me would shift me into being Libra, Scorpio. Ironically, my mother and my daughter, before me and after me, are October 22nd. They would shift up into a September. So what it is you get like 30 to 31 days in a full 12-month cycle. So being the 13th, it actually shifts. And people are running around. It makes you deal with being in, connected to every zodiac within the 13th because you got to remember, they shorten February. February doesn't have 30 or 31 days. It's very every 4 years it gets to 29 days. So this is all science. Has nothing to do with astrology originally when they created. And they thought that they were creating a 13th zodiac, yet it was already in creation when we started, monitoring calendars and things of that nature. Yet we were taught the 12th. And it took precedent over popularity in society because it was an easier way to break down the zodiac. So they've been giving us stuff and taking stuff, and we've already, eons before now, known this stuff. But why are we being still tested with it? Because we forgot it. And so now we're allowing them to give us stuff that we know ain't right because it don't feel right.
Selling it back to us. They stole our shit, now they're selling it back to us.
And so now we're walking around, oh, they created the 13th. No, that's been time since we've acknowledged time. We've always been a 13th zodiac. And this is why people will say, well, Scorpio, or you'll say, I'm a Gemini. No, I am the zodiac.
There it is. Yep.
You know, I am the zodiac. You know, sometimes you acting like Cancer and you say, oh, I don't even like Cancer people. Why? Because you and your Cancer. So you drawing the Cancer.
Yep. I know that you, see, let me tell you for me what my aha moment was for me. I noticed that the signs that I hated the most. I said, wait a minute, why do I hate this Virgo so much? Why do I hate this Taurus so much? Why do I hate this Libra so much? I said, aha, that energy is prevalent in my existence, as in my now, to teach me some type of lesson. And the fucking lesson it taught me was that was like a mirror of you. That was a reflective energy of you, Keith, that you have been suppressing, that you've been fighting, that you hate so much because you don't want to deal with that part of your motherfucking self. So it wasn't until I started to learn instead of hating, learn and study that it was. That's all.
And then you found out that those signs were more you than your Gemini.
What?
You found out that those signs were more you than your Gemini. Especially if you examine your 360. If you look at if you look at your north node on your astrology and you look at your south node and you see any conjunctions there, that's where you fighting you. Your higher self is fighting your lower self or vice versa.
Yep.
That's why I always say you gotta know, you gotta love all of you. Love your dark side.
All of you.
Stop walking around here talking about people, oh, you beautiful, you a beautiful person, you a loving person, you a this, you a that. Stop letting people gas your head up.
That's that feel good shit. That feel good shit. Because
you know you a motherfucker. You know you manipulate. You know you can get ignorant. You know you can be disrespectful. You know that you can be ugly. You know this. So why not embrace that too?
Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
It's
okay.
And it's
be
okay.
Careful in the spiritual community, y'all, because, you know, Bobby said it a long time ago, and I'm so thankful that I heard it from Bobby. But Bobby said, you know, we out here now to where, you know, we like this feel-good shit, you know, love, love, love. We don't even understand the concept of love has been changed so much throughout time. We don't even want to admit that we don't even know what the fuck it really truly is. You know?
Love is an emotion.
That part.
Love is an emotion that umbrellas other emotions. You can love somebody and still hate them and understand why.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can like somebody and dislike them all at the same time. Ooh, that's my girl. I love her. But you know what? She get on my nerves. She always be whining. You see? So you got to love all of you. You got to embrace all of you. You know, I long for the elders. That's my thing. Guess what? I woke up and became, what the fuck?
Let me see what Eternal's saying, because his call dropped, and I know he's not able to get back in. Let me see what Eternal's saying. I know that's him. Somebody beeping in the background.
You know, we're
going to wrap it up, Auntie, is all I was saying, because I got something I need to do, but his call dropped. So, Auntie, this is a good time to go ahead and wrap it up. This has been a great broadcast. You know, gratitude for the energy as always. I love to have these conversations, but one thing I love to have these. I'm very skeptical though of these conversations, but I do love to push through them because, again, guys, the prevalence of this is when we go back and we revisit back when we go back to slavery's story, you guys, because mind you. They always want us to go back to slavery. Why? Because it's a narrative, it's a frequency of anger and hurt and hate and all of that. So in that frequency, you're able to be controlled, you're able to be manipulated. That's why you see all the slave movies. That's why you see all the, you know what I'm saying? So be very mindful when you go back. We're not telling you to not go back and be angry. We get it. But now is a good time, as was suggested. Now is a good time for you to, you know, balance it out. You know what I mean? Say, okay, this is understanding the depth and the science of why it happened, how it happened, versus being angry that it happened. That's my closing. Auntie, go ahead.
To be angry is natural. Because they've given you a story that's not your story. And you're not only angry at them, but you're angry with yourself. You're learning this and healing yourself. You mad because you allowed, your parents allowed you to be indoctrinated. Their parents allowed them to be indoctrinated. And you realize that indoctrination is not for you. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be mad at you first. You're going to be mad at you last. Because you're going to blame everybody else. My grandma made me go to church. My mama made me clean up and get a job. I went to college and got in debt because my family wanted me to go to school. All this old type of stuff. At the end of the day, you had a choice. And you never chose you. You never chose what you knew you could do or couldn't do or wanted to do or desired to examine. You mad at you. So what I'm going to tell you today is be okay with being mad at you and heal that shit. And then when you heal that shit, be okay with telling your family members who helped you fuck you up that you healing that and it's okay and you understand. And then brush that shit off. The thing is to go back and visit, not to go
to
back. Okay. That's the key.
Ooh.
Go back and visit.
All right.
But don't go back and stay. And don't go back if you know that you're not strong enough to walk away. Wait till you're strong enough to go and visit it and walk away from it. When you get there, you'll be in a position where you're now the student teacher. Because when you live it, you've built it. And when you built it, others like you will come. When you live it, you have built it. And when you built it, others will come. Keep that in your mind with everything you do. Go on, deal with your other half, the other part of your 180, that I don't believe I did this and let this happen to me. Go through your ups and downs and rounds and rounds. Heal that shit and come out a better you. Come out a greater you. Once you get it, you can teach it. But the only way for you to get it is for you to live it. If you're not living what you're teaching, then you're hurting what's trying to learn from you, coming behind you. You are indoctrinating those behind you to see it in a fictitious way that you want to give it because you're not living. We don't want teacher aides. We want teachers. We don't want forever students. We want student teachers because student teachers will be learning and earning as they grow. And when they got it, then they can give it away. I can't give you something I don't have. But I can give you something that I harness, that I hold, that I have. I can give you that. Then I'm no longer the sacrifice, but I'm the offer. Choose which one you want to be and start working in that. Peace, love, and light, even for my diet. Good day, fam.
Children dead from war. Did you ever stop to notice?